Genomics is changing lives. It is reshaping economies and shifting health outcomes. British Columbia is at the leading edge of genomic research and in practice. The role of that research in BC took a huge leap forward when six new projects in precision healthcare were awarded more than $60 million in funding. Funding that helps establish British Columbia as a genomics-driven life sciences supercluster. Precision healthcare is shifting the way we interact with our own health, medical practitioners, and the healthcare system. By utilizing genomics, we can diagnose potential health threats in advance and then guide treatments that are specific to individuals like you and me. Already, the BC Pharmacy Association is employing pharmacogenomics to ensure that you receive the right medication in the right dose at the right time. Now, the new research builds on that. Treatment for childhood diseases in Indigenous populations and pharmacogenomics in childhood cancer treatment are two of the newly funded projects. The investment is a validation of the extraordinary genomic research already underway in BC. We asked Genome BC Chief Science Officer Katrina Lopez Correa to join us for a conversation that matters about how genomics is reshaping our lives. Welcome. This is a pretty exciting time for Genome BC. Big announcement. Tell me a little bit about that announcement, and then let's get into what it means and where this takes us, particularly when it comes to precision health.
Well, it is indeed a big announcement for Genome BC and for BC in general. We have been working with actually a large group of projects for over a year in an entire process where we go from helping them prepare pre-applications, full applications. We got 11 projects that were invited to submit a full application with their ideas on how to use and apply genomics into a healthcare system in BC and in Canada. And what we will be announcing is the six winners on that competition, which is a big success for
BC. So six
BC.
Of the 11 projects
Absolutely.
Were awarded funding.
Yeah, which is great. Typically at this stage of the competition, we expect to get 40 to 50% of success. The reality is that overall in this competition for Canada, it was a lower success rate for the entire competition. It's about 35%. Mm-hmm. So from 35 projects, there are 15 that were selected for funding. And from those, six are from BC. So we got a very good group of projects and a very high success rate.
So let's talk about what are the six projects that have been awarded funding.
Yeah, so we got an exciting portfolio of very diverse projects that will touch on many different aspects. One common theme that we're seeing there, which is important for us, is that is the application of genomics in childhood disorders. So I'll start with those three projects. The first is a project that works with Indigenous populations. Mm-hmm. They will work on developing a database for childhood disorders and genotyping and analyzing the genomes for children with rare diseases in Indigenous populations in BC. We have a project also on pharmacogenomics. Mm-hmm. So pharmacogenomics is basically using your genomic information to understand how you react or respond to drugs. Mm-hmm. So in some cases, you might have adverse drug events or you might not respond to a drug. And that, again, is also for children mm-hmm. with cancer.
So is it directed at children or is it pharmacogenomics in general?
Basically, the proof of concept is with children. So mm-hmm. they will just test children that have cancer, that have any oncological or cancer disorder, mm-hmm. and just make sure that these patients are getting the right drug for their needs mm-hmm. and that they will not have adverse drug events. So, because as you know, a lot right. of these cancer drugs are very toxic.
Right.
So with pharmacogenomics, the idea is to reduce that level of toxicity by understanding how your genome and your enzymes will be able to metabolize that drug mm-hmm. and how would you be the
right.
one
will
that
you
will
be
react?
A fast metabolizer or a slow metabolizer?
Exactly.
Or you might have an adverse reaction.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, and so this is about delivering the right dose in the right time for each patient.
Absolutely. As we say, the right dose at the right mm-hmm. drug at the right time for the right patient at the right dose. So really the targeted therapy using genomics.
Mm-hmm. And this is what we want. So that's two of the, yeah, the three
exactly.
that...
We have another very interesting project that's building on lots of capacity that we have in the province in the area of microbiome. So mm-hmm. microbiome, again, is another aspect quite interesting. It's all the microbes you have in your gut.
Right.
So we're not sequencing here the human genome. We're sequencing or analyzing my genome or the genome, in this case, of children with asthma. What we're trying to understand is their composition of their gut mm-hmm. microbiome. And, yeah, understanding how this will... Your interactions with those microbes make you maybe more susceptible to have asthma or not.
I got you to hang on for a second while we take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Sorry for the interruption, but I need your help. I'm asking you to support the show by becoming a patron. That means pledging $1 per show. Conversations is a unique program. There's no grandstanding, no arguing, no yelling. Instead, I sit down with people who have unique insights, specialized knowledge, and experiences that inform and enlighten. And we do this on an incredibly limited budget with a very small crew. Well, this is my office, and it's where I edit the show. And then once it's ready, we give it away. You know, so many different websites around the world are carrying the show, but they get it for free. They don't pay us. So I'm asking you to pledge $1 per show by going to patreon.com/conversationsthatmatter. Thanks. We want to keep producing conversations, and with your help, we can. Now let's get back to the show.
Mm-hmm. I've thought about this, and I'm thinking, okay, I have heard that we're more microbes than we are us. Like, we're actually...
10 to 1.
Yeah. So we're hosts for a whole range of other organisms.
Absolutely.
And there's more of them than there are of us in our bodies.
Absolutely.
And so if you're then going through the process of mapping the genome on each one of those microbes, how complex of a task is that?
It is absolutely complex. I always say, you know, you're alone in a room, you think you're alone. No, you're with 10 millions of millions and millions and millions of these little microorganisms. The advantage is that those genomes are, because those are tiny microorganisms, mm-hmm. so those genomes are smaller somehow and are simpler. The challenge is the complexity, the diversity, and trying to sort out from that incredible mass mm-hmm. and amount of diverse microorganisms, sort out the ones and classify them and all that. So that's what the project will be doing, using genomics to understand this diversity and understand the difference between children that will develop asthma at very early stages in life and the ones that maybe could benefit from early probiotics or anything that could just change a little bit the composition of your microbiome. And because it's so right. somehow easy to access, I mean, with the probiotics and other things, you could, to a certain extent, change fast.
So that's 3 of the 6 projects.
Yeah,
what are the other
exactly.
three?
So mm-hmm. we have a project in cancer, which, as you know, this particular project is in lymphoma. And cancer is one of the areas in genomics where we have seen the highest clinical implementation. Mm-hmm. So in this project, we are looking at stratifying patients, potentially finding new biomarkers to identify the best treatment for the best patient, and also potentially look at potential adverse events and really targeting the therapies to specific patients. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, that could also lead to potential new treatments. So that's a project on cancer. Mm-hmm. And we have a project also on kidney transplant, which is quite a mm-hmm. new aspect and an exciting aspect of the application of genomics. And in this case, is to really use genomics to upfront just try to find the best match when mm-hmm. you're doing a kidney transplant. One of the highest costs in kidney or any organ transplantation, as you know, is the rejection of the organs.
Right.
So if you could get that right from the beginning and avoid all that extra cost, and it's not just about cost, but it's also about all the health issues that are associated with the rejection of an organ. Mm-hmm. So that project is really using genomics to target that, to really, in a more proactive, I'll say, in upstream way, mm-hmm. get the things right from the beginning.
And because you're looking for as close a match as possible.
Absolutely. Yeah. Using genomics and using, because you have some markers that we typically use to find the best donor, mm-hmm. but that goes really to the next level. Let's say the next generation of finding how close you and I are related, mm-hmm. or anybody else in terms of our genomes and yes. our markers and our antibodies, mm-hmm. and trying to find the best match for an organ. And then the project number six is a project that's really touching on a big need, because mm-hmm. we have all these projects, as you see, the five projects we have, we'll be delivering biomarkers, we'll be delivering tests, we'll be delivering great amount of genomic data mm-hmm. that will should be used by clinicians and by the patients.
Yes.
What we're missing there, and that's why I say this project number six is kind of the missing link, is that there is a big lack in our capacity to deliver that to patients, because we're right. missing, we don't have enough genetic counselors. Often doctors are not, if you think of family doctors, they are not all trained mm-hmm. on how to deliver those results, and even right. when to order a genomic test. So this project is building the capacity in genetic counselors in Canada. It's a collaboration with Quebec and Ontario in delivering that genetic counseling in Canada.
I'm going to jump a little out of cue because you brought up a point that's been in my mind. We go back to, what was it, 1998, when we finally mapped the human genome, and there was this promise that it was going to deliver extraordinary results that we were supposed to have seen by now. And yet, it still feels as though we're, especially when it comes to our own health, the benefit of having mapped the human genome, it feels like we're still in the starting blocks of where we can ultimately be. This is a lot longer process than was originally anticipated, isn't it?
I would say yes and no. So yeah, absolutely. When I was doing my PhD in 1998, and when we were sequencing and finishing and drafting the human genome and preparing everything to release the human genome, the first mm-hmm. copy of the human genome, everybody would say, well, like, okay, we have this copy, like now we have the book of life, we will solve all of the questions, we will get everything. And the reality is that it's not as simple, and it has been much more complex. But we are already, I think in the past 5-6 years, starting to see very, very concrete applications. The mm-hmm. way we treat cancer patients is now completely targeted. There's no, I'll dare to say here that it will be very difficult to find an oncologist that is practicing in a hospital that doesn't know about genomic markers. Every oncologist that's treating patients today in a way or in another one will use genomics to understand, to do a better diagnosis, to guide the treatment, even to evaluate prognosis of that patient. Mm-hmm. So in oncology, it's a huge change. In rare diseases too, I don't think there's a single pediatrician that when he's getting a patient with a rare disease is not thinking about genetic testing mm-hmm. in a way or in another one. So has been slow, but is really getting there. Mm-hmm. And if we think, we always compare the genomic revolution with the bioinformatics or informatics revolution. So right. if you think what happened with the first computers, we had huge computers that were in a room, cold room, and the memory of those computers for an entire room were less than what you have in your phone today.
Yes.
So that field has been moving slowly, or not that slowly, but is moving, and now we have computers everywhere. Mm-hmm. Well, genomics, when we look at the decrease in cost for sequencing a genome, yes. first human genome cost $3 billion yes. for 3 billion letters. So $1 per letter.
Per letter, right.
Wow. Today, we the whole process was 10 years.
Yes.
Today, we can do an entire genome in about a week for about $1,000.
Yeah.
If we add the analysis and all that, let's say maximum we can go to $10,000.
Yeah.
But it's a dramatic decrease in cost.
Yes.
So with that decrease in cost, we're also increasing our ability to apply it, to use it, and to implement it mm-hmm. in the clinic.
And this is really the next step of precision healthcare, isn't it?
Absolutely. And this is not the future.
No.
This is today. This is happening here in BC, here in Vancouver, here in Canada, and here. And we have a project, as I say, with indigenous populations that really is aiming at just decentralizing mm-hmm. all these discoveries and taking them to remote regions so that we, everybody benefits from that. Because there's also a huge issue on equity that is mm-hmm. not just for certain regions that have the big hospitals and the big cities, but yeah. for everybody that now could benefit from those advances.
Can you clear up something for me? Because I've heard the term personalized medicine, which has been bandied around quite a bit. But you're saying precision healthcare. What?
Yeah.
What is the difference, and why is it important that we have that different designation?
Well, it's interesting because when we started in 2012, that was the first GenomeBC, Genome Canada competition on genomics and health. We started with personalized and personalized in medicine. And we started thinking, well, first, personalized, if you think every treatment to a certain extent is personalized, you will think that mm. every patient, go to a doctor, I'm a person, I get my personal treatment. So there was a little bit of resistance to that term. And for us, okay. it didn't really illustrate what genomics is doing. Genomics, yes, is personalizing, but more than that, is giving you a very precise picture of what you have in terms of if it's a tumor, it will give you a much more precise diagnosis. What type of tumor is a much better and more precise than pathology? I look in the microscope and see, oh, this is stage one, stage two. No, here is, I have this mutation, and this mutation, and because of that molecular profiling, I can give this treatment. So it's very precise in that sense, the word precision. And now, medicine, there is a connotation of treatment and being sick.
Yes.
But the reality is that genomics also has a huge potential in the area of prevention.
Yes.
So before you go to the hospital, when you're going to your family doctor, let's use genomics and either to prevent you even going to the family doctor because you already know you have a mm-hmm. predisposition or you have a tendency or you have a risk for a certain disease, and you will act on that, you will do more certain, you know, exercise or certain diets, or mm-hmm. so you can prevent, or
being to a doctor. Are we starting to see the introduction of that stage?
We are starting to see some public health screenings, mm-hmm. and a little bit of, there's some projects that are starting on the area of nutrigenomics on how to adapt your diet with genomics. So those are more empirical, but there's a lot of movement and thinking on how genomics really will lead us into a health mm-hmm. more than, or just keeping us healthy instead of treating us when we are already going to the doctor.
Mm-hmm. So 6 of 11 projects that were up or were funded come from British Columbia. What is it that we're doing here in genomics? We take a look at Genome BC, and clearly, it is a force to be reckoned with. Why? What happened? Why did we become so good at this?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's not, that's a good point. That's not that we say, okay, let's get them, and we got six projects like that.
No, because you have to have the right talent, absolutely. You have to have the right body of work, and that takes a huge commitment.
Absolutely, and we have been, GenomeBC has been investing since 2000, mm-hmm. millions of dollars in building the capacity in supporting scientists. We're funding platforms that have cutting edge technologies. We provide sequencing services, just all kinds of genotyping, genomics, proteomics. And we have all these different projects that have been funded, partnerships with the private sector, mm-hmm. interactions with the Ministry of Health too. We have been working on those interactions. And for this competition in particular, we have a very close relationship with the Ministry of Health. They were participating in our panels, giving letters of support to the projects. So it's not just only about the genomics research, because implementing mm-hmm. genomics in the clinic and really taking it to us, to the patients, is about building an ecosystem and investing in creating that capacity. So the past 17, 18 years, mm-hmm. that's exactly what GenomeBC has been doing, building that ecosystem and making those investments.
Globally, are we a center of influence in genomics research?
We are in certain areas. If we think the area of oncology, we have had an international leadership in that area. Microbiome, also mm-hmm. we have scientists in BC that are internationally known by the work they're doing in microbiome and have been linked to international consortiums and international initiatives. We have strong work also on pharmacogenomics. And when you think of the Canadian landscape, BC has been very, very strong. And the support we have been giving at GenomeBC in projects in pharmacogenomics in the past 6-7 years has also helped to build capacity. Interactions with organizations like the BC Pharmacy Association.
Right, with their has pharmacogenomics program.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. And them delivering those tests in the pharmacies and increasing the awareness. So all that, again, is the ecosystem we're building with the different partners, because the reality is that implementing genomics in the clinic is not something that you can do by investing in one project, or mm-hmm. is really a work that has to be in collaboration and is, as I say, this ecosystem, building these interactions with different partners.
You spent an awful lot of time in this field, and when you every now and then have time to dream about what the future might be, 15, 20 years from now, what does the future of precision healthcare look like to us? Like, will we be living in a completely different kind of
healthcare
model?
I think we will. I think we will have all of us, our genome sequence, that will be part of our, like we have only today, an understanding of what our glucose levels are and what our cholesterol, if we have higher, lower, and we go to our year checkups and all that, we'll have that understanding of our genome mm-hmm. and potentially our microbiome and all this information. But more than that, it will be the capacity inside the healthcare system to use these technologies in a clever way to really get to that precision health, mm-hmm. where we try to keep people from going into, from being sick or going into adverse drug events or tertiary care, but keeping you either healthy, out of the system.
Which saves everybody a lot of money.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Or in your primary care physician that will be well-versed. He will know, or she will know, all about how to use genomic testing when needed. So it's going to be, in my mind, these technologies will help us go into much more preventative and more focusing on health instead of focusing on the disease.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like I could talk to you for a couple of hours about this topic. Unfortunately, I'm out of time, but I'm very excited about where we're at in British Columbia. These are the kinds of things that make you say, we really are doing exceptional work here.
Absolutely.
Work that
Absolutely.
Matters.
Yeah. It's incredible. And I think the years we have ahead of us with those projects, and I didn't tell you about two others that we have in collaborations with Ontario and Quebec
oh
that are
gosh.
Even more exciting. So it's a lot going on, and it's very, very exciting.
Thank
Wonderful.
You. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.